Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We want to thank you for joining us for a very important Medical Monday conversation. September is Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. And tonight, we're asking men, are you aware enough to bring this conversation out of the shadows? How can we reduce the stigma attached to the disease, attached to the exam, and all of the other challenges that come with it? Well, tonight, my guest is Dr. Pamela Coleman. She's a urologist and associate professor of surgery at the Howard University Cancer Center. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. And I really want to hear from the guys tonight because, you know, Dr. Coleman, thank you for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Because we were having conversations earlier today about this. And yes, we're going to get down into some of the details of prostate cancer, PSA numbers and all of that. Even though we've spoken about it, we can never have too much information about that. But I really want to start more generally about something that everyone can understand, and in some cases many men struggle with this, and sometimes those struggles can lead to not just physically debilitating, but it can lead to death. So what is it, from your experience, why is this such a difficult issue for men to talk about it, and why are they so resistant to addressing this issue?
I think one of the reasons, when there are several, why men are challenged to talk about this topic involves, one, education about the prostate gland and what it does. Secondly, the examination that needs to be performed to actually make sure someone has a healthy prostate gland, and the stigma that can be attached with doing a digital rectal examination. And finally, if one is found to have prostate cancer, what that means with respect to the sexual ability of a man to be able to perform with respect to erections and overall libido and health.
Have you had those conversations with any of your patients regarding that?
I've had those conversations many times. Today I had office hours and saw many men with prostate health issues. From the first patient that came into the office and being able to talk to him about having a prostate check. I'll say a prostate check involves getting basic history and physical, but when it comes down to what we need to do with examination, it involves doing a digital rectal examination of the prostate along with a prostate blood test. And I've heard many men say that they feel, in quotes, assaulted with having to have a digital rectal examination done. That really shouldn't be. A digital rectal examination is part of the overall examination to check for a healthy prostate.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned something that was really interesting. You said, well, men have felt assaulted. Does it matter whether or not the physician is male or female?
I don't think it really matters if the physician is male or female from talking with my colleagues. I think it's just that men are not socialized early to have physical examinations. Women are socialized as little girls when they start their period and their menarche, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. They start to have physical examinations. Men probably should be at least be taught about their genital examination. They don't necessarily need to have a rectal exam at that time, but just overall physical exam. And I think because they're not used to having this area checked, there is a lot of misconceptions about what a digital rectal examination in the doctor's office entitles.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight we are talking about prostate cancer, trying to raise awareness about it and trying to get men much more comfortable in addressing this issue. If you have a comment, if you have a question, I want to hear from the guys tonight, in particular at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You just brought up something that kind of struck me also, because do women, for example, when they are getting breast examinations, have you heard women speak about feeling invaded or assaulted?
Yes, I think to some degree women do feel that way, especially when they're going to have the mammogram done.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you've often heard women saying, well, I don't want to necessarily go and have my breasts squashed in between sort of two paddles to have my breast checked.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of doing a physical exam on the breast, that is a good way to image the breast and see if there are any abnormalities there. And the other area, of course, is the vaginal examination. Women who have not had sexual intercourse and their hymen is intact, they don't necessarily need to have a sort of vigorous vaginal examination, but they do need to have an inspection mm-hmm. of the vaginal area. And this should be with a chaperone in the room, as men can also ask to have a chaperone in the room during the exam.
And see, this is why I ask, because you know, depending on, you know, one's attitude or thought processes, you may have a basic foundational thought about the digital rectal exam where, look, just this is a health thing, this is non-sexual, just like a breast exam, just like you know, a gynecological exam. This is non-sexual. This is just, and for some people, yes, obviously with the breast exam, no woman wants to have a breast mash, but that's painful. It's uncomfortable, but it's different from the actual thought that maybe it is an assault. It's just like you have blood drawn. For some people, it's painful,
mm-hmm.
but do they consider it an assault? And what I'm getting at is, how do we, particularly for men, move them beyond the emotional discomfort? And I've had them. I don't like them either. It's short. But the thing that I really like afterward is getting the report from the doctor that says, you're fine.
Right.
I don't feel anything abnormal. That overrides any discomfort of this very short digital rectal exam, as far as I'm concerned.
Right. That's correct. I think that first thing men have to understand that this is part of the physical examination. So when you go to get your complete physical, your once yearly examination, the examination as I would examine from head to toe, looking at your eyes and your ears and everything, and then actually coming down to do a rectal exam. There's a number of things that we can determine with a rectal exam. I, as a urologist, I'm wanting to feel the prostate gland.
What are you feeling for?
I'm feeling for get an idea of the size of the gland, if it should feel smooth, but I'm looking to see if I feel any lumps or bumps. And if I turn my digital finger around, I can actually feel other abnormalities in the rectum, for example, anal pathology or rectal pathology.
What does that mean?
That means perhaps there an area around the anus, there may be some hemorrhoids, internal hemorrhoids or visually external hemorrhoids. Or maybe in a mass that's lower down in the rectum can be palpated. So having that literally 3-second examination is very important to give a man an idea of the health of the prostate and also of the anal rectal area.
Mm-hmm. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about prostate cancer, raising prostate cancer awareness, and removing the stigma attached to the disease, the exam, and the challenges that come with it. Let's go to Leviticus. Is that correct?
Good evening. Leviticus, correct.
Okay, very well.
So I appreciate the medical terminology that we're all using, but let's just go ahead and call the elephant in the room that there's a homophobic hysteria in the black male community. And it's what I find interesting is that over the years of education, because education is very plentiful, I like to know whether or not the incidence of identifying prostate cancers early on and if black men are still dying from it or they're catching it early and there is a recovery base for that. But the elephant in the room is really the homophobic status that comes with the digital rectal exam. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Leviticus. Go right ahead, Doctor. He mentioned two critical points. First, about homophobia. Do you, in talking with your parents, patients, do you feel that he's correct?
Well, I do think he brings up a very interesting point. And yes, in him voicing this, he's correct with this within his mind. But a digital rectal examination should really not be part of the homophobic experience, in quotes. I want to get across that the digital rectal examination is a exam that needs to be performed, particularly in African-American men over 40, for several reasons. One, we know that there is a higher incidence of prostate cancer in African-American men. And two, especially men that have a history in their family of prostate cancer, the incidence is higher. And those patients that present with prostate cancer in African-American men, it can be treated, it can be cured when caught early. But in the later stages, when they present with later stages, they have a higher chance of dying from their prostate cancer. So I think we have to kind of get over, it's not a homophobic experience. It is part of the physical examination.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Andre, thanks for hanging on. Calling from Baltimore, what's on your mind?
Hello, my name is Andre, and I was diagnosed with prostate cancer in 2016. I was on a regular physical, and my PSA number started from at 1 and 2, and they kept going up gradually. So once it got to 10, my primary doctor told me to go to my urology and get a check. When they told me I had cancer, it scared me total 100% to death. I'm the first one in the family to have it. I didn't have no symptoms. I'm in pretty good health. And when they told me I had cancer, I cried for my mother and grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
When the men I've talked to, so many men, I've told them, I say, the doctor either gonna check it when you're half dead or you're half alive. I say, when women have to go get their pap smear, they are very uncomfortable too. I am a strong 100% man, and I say, I must be here for my children. And when they went up and did the examination the doctor is talking about, I was wide awake. They cut 12 pieces of my prostate. 7 of them came back with cancer. Scared me total 100% to death. But I went through I went through my radiation, and I was also scared about my sexual function because I was crying to the doctor. I said, Doc, you mean to tell me I'm finished with my sexual activity? I said, come on, Doc, I'm a young man.
Okay.
He said, man, don't worry about that. We're going to deal with the cancer first, and then we'll worry about your sexual activities later. I had to get 82 radiation
scenes. Hold on, Andre. I appreciate your passion and your story. I have one question for you because I'm about to take a break. This diagnosis came 3 years ago. How do you feel now?
I feel 100% good. It wore me down. The radiation wore me down so much where I had to fight it. I exercised. I sweated it out. But I feel 100% good. I only feel uncomfortable when I go to the doctor every 6 months to check on my numbers. My numbers was almost at 11. Now my numbers at zero.
Okay.
And I just get a little nervous every time I go to the doctor. But as long as my numbers at zero, I'm fine. But I feel excellent.
Well, Andre, I appreciate, again, your passion. I am so glad that you are can be counted among the living and are in good spirits and good health. Before I go to a break, briefly, talk to me, doctor, about what Andre was talking about, the PSA numbers. He talked about ones and twos, and I've got about 30 seconds. Give me a quick rundown of that.
Okay, well, thank you, Andre, for that, yes. And I'm glad that you're doing well. I want to say first off that you are... It shows that prostate cancer can be treated, and most people at 5 years, 97-100% are going to be alive. So it's something that you want to know. But in general, the PSA number for men over 40, 45 should be in the range of less than 4. Mm-hmm. So your Andre's PSA being 10 was double the normal.
Hold that point, because I'm going to let you finish it after I take this break. Stacy calling from D.C. Eric also calling from D.C. We're going to continue this conversation and get your phone calls on the other side. So please do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program. Also, lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We continue this Medical Monday conversation about prostate cancer and raising awareness about it. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about prostate cancer, raising awareness about the disease, and trying to dispel the stigmas related to the disease, the exam, and the challenges that men face. This is our Medical Monday conversation, and my guest is Dr. Pamela Coleman, urologist and associate professor of surgery at the Howard University Cancer Center. I want you to finish your point that we were discussing before the break. What does PSA stand for?
Okay, PSA stands for prostate-specific antigen.
Okay.
So this is a protein that is made primarily by the prostate gland, and the prostate gland is only found in men. Is actually a gland that's in between the outside the bladder, and as we mentioned, we can feel the periphery part of it on our rectal examination. And so this PSA, prostate-specific antigen, is made by the cells of the prostate and is excreted in the semen. So when the sperm, which are made in the testicles, swim up the vas deferens, they mix with the fluid in the prostate, and then they are ejaculated out. And this enzyme is important in terms of the fluid that the sperm are swimming in.
Mm. Okay. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Eric calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Oh, I want to just say thank you for bringing awareness to this. We as men, we need to be more aware. I was diagnosed last year, and I'm 49 years old. I had the robotic surgery. So, you know, I was one of those that was on the opposite end of the spectrum. My numbers were low. But the following year when I had my physical, they went up. They spiked up. And that's when the doctor ordered the biopsy, and that's when they found it. My numbers were around 4.7. But because 1 year they at 2.5, and the next year they went to 4.7. That, you know, because I was having my physical, that raised his awareness. So, and it's not, it's an exam. I'm going to tell men, it's an exam. There's no reason to feel you know, any type of homophobia. It's an exam. You get it. You want to live versus dying.
Have you ever had any difficulty talking about this, Eric?
No, I haven't. What happened with me, you know, when you find out, you're going to end up on an emotional roller coaster. But if you have other men to talk to, which was my case, I had other friends and men that had went through it that I was able to talk to, and they helped me get through the situation. So we just have to talk to one another and bring awareness to one another.
And have you ever had guys give you pushback about talking about it?
No.
Okay.
I haven't.
Yeah. Go ahead, Doc.
No, that's actually very, very interesting. And there have been some studies looking at talking about, you know, the barbershop conversation that goes along there and in the man cave, bringing up the prostate, awareness of prostate, and wanting to stay alive, wanting to be around for your loved ones. And you also mentioned another point. So the absolute number is less than 4, but certainly if there is a change in your PSA, particularly if it doubles within a year's time, that's important. So this is why it's important, particularly for African-American men, sometimes starting as early as 40. We have some patients that are as young in their less than 50 years of age, develop prostate cancer. So it's good to have your baseline, know your baseline PSA, prostate-specific antigen, blood test, get your baseline rectal examination, and then you have that to be followed to see if there's an increase over time.
Eric, again, thank you so much and good health to you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stacy, calling from D.C., thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, go right ahead.
Yeah, there's so much I want to say, so I'm going to try to get it out quickly. But just thank you for this topic and thanks to all the men that are calling in. This is something that has touched me personally, like, you know, more and more each year from, you know, a family member years ago who, you know, went through radiation. And just recently, my ex-husband and a longtime friend. So that's 3 men, I would say, in probably like a span of 3 years. So I like to ask the doctor when I hang up, I guess, to talk about how prevalent this is, like as far as like, you know, the 1 out of 3, 1 out of 10, are those numbers increasing? And then also what can, like I said, since I am a woman who's had 3 men around me that this has touched, and even when I'm hearing the men calling in, I'm surprised at how good it is. So what, if anything, can women do? Like, can we, you know, ask to go with our men to the doctor? What can we tell them that they need to be getting, what type of test they need to be getting when they go to the doctor?
Well, Stacey, let's see what the doctor has to say about all of those issues. Doctor, please.
Yes, a number of issues. Let me try to get to each one if I can. But in general, if you take all men, most men, probably 50% after the age of 60, 66, will probably have prostate cancer. Now, prostate cancer is a cancer, but there are different types of cells inside of prostate cancer. Not all of the cells are aggressive. Some of the cells grow very, very slowly, and then some of the cell types grow much quickly. So it's important, and you will not know this, and we don't even know this ourselves without doing a biopsy, which we haven't talked about tonight yet, but this is how we can determine what we call risk-stratify, what type of prostate cancer you have, or your gentleman loved one may have. In terms of the incidence, it's fairly common. In the United States, it's rare, actually, in the men from Japan. We don't really know all the reasons why this is. But the other thing we know is that in the District of Columbia, in this area, has actually a much higher incidence of prostate cancer than other areas in the United States. Again, we don't know all the factors involved, certainly diet, hereditary, exercise. Some of those things are definitely involved. And they're being studied. But I have a very high incidence here in the Washington area, and African-American men, those with family history, if you have a first-degree relative, you're going to increase your incidence of prostate cancer than if you don't have a first-degree relative who has cancer.
Mm-hmm. And for the women who care about the men in their lives, would you recommend? Let us say we're talking about a wife or a girlfriend or a longtime mate. Would you recommend that they go to the doctors with the men as they are moving, you know, through this this process, whatever it happens to be, whether it is the exam or whether or not there is a detection of cancer? Does it vary from man to man? Do you think generally in them attempting to be supportive that it would be a good thing for them to be there?
Well, that's probably a personal decision. I do think that the initial probably physical examination and seeing the doctor, a man can probably come in by himself. But I do think it's important if the diagnosis is made that there is support from the family members and also from significant others in the family. That's so very, very helpful. It's sometimes easier for women to kind of have these discussions, but I'm glad that the men are starting to have these discussions, even if it's amongst themselves, and then encourage each other to come in and have your physical exam done and your blood test done. Mm-hmm.
What kind of, and I know you spoke earlier about, for example, you know, Asian men, and you specifically made reference to Japanese men, but for those that are concerned about preventative measures, what do you recommend?
Well, there are no measures that say that if you do this, you're not going to get prostate cancer, or you're not going to get any cancer, actually. But certainly, we do know that keeping yourself healthy, now what does that mean? Having a good diet, good amount of fiber, low amount of fat, exercising, seeing your doctor on an annual basis or healthcare professional. Again, so important for men to see their doctor. And I would probably go as far to say after age 40 in African-American men, to see their physician, have, or even your primary care, have that initial base exam and prostate blood test done. What we have found, even in men from Asian countries and Japan particularly, when they migrate or come over to the United States and sort of take on our culture, our diet, maybe our lack of exercise, different things, that we do see the incidence of prostate cancer grow.
Interesting. Stacy, thank you so much for bringing all of those questions to this conversation. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. James, calling from Philadelphia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I was calling because I had prostate cancer, and I had the biopsy, which was the worst. But I wound up having the robotic surgery, and 8 years later, it came back, and it was located in a prostate bed, which I had never heard of before. And then I had to go through 7 weeks of radiation 5 days a week. And it was kind of trying, but I make sure we share it with the different churches in our area, trying to get them aware of it, because it's not a death sentence, but it will rock your world. And it took me a long time to decide which procedure I was going to do. I didn't want to do chemo. I didn't want to do the radiation because I heard it damaged good cells. But I wound up doing a robotic surgery, and I'm glad I did.
How do you feel now?
I feel real good. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel good. Matter of fact, they told me about the third or fourth week I would be feeling weak during the radiation time, but I really didn't. You know, I exercised, I was playing. I'm 65 years old. When it first hit me, it really rocked my world, but I'm all right.
James, thank you so much for your phone call. I want to go back to some foundational stuff real quick. For those men that perhaps are in their 30s and are listening to this conversation, when should you, barring any other health concerns, when should you have a prostate exam, at what age, and how frequently?
Well, thanks, James, for your comments. I would probably say initially, prostate cancer does not have any particular signs or symptoms. So you don't really know if you have it or don't have it. some of the symptoms that we see of frequent urination and getting up at night to urinate, those are really signs of enlargement of the prostate or the prostate affecting the way the bladder is emptying or not emptying properly. So that's why it's so important to see your physician and have your digital rectal and have your PSA blood test done. Men in their 30s right now don't necessarily particularly need to have an annual prostate examination or PSA. The only caveat I would say, unless you have someone in your family that had prostate cancer early, and early I mean less than 50 or even in their mid-40s, then that may be a signal that you should be checked earlier. But usually we don't even start checking men until they're over 40. And even then, those men that are checked over 40 are those that are usually African-American or even men non-African-American who have a family history of prostate cancer. Then we start checking. And it doesn't necessarily always have to be annual. I mean, if your PSA is very low, 4.0, like I said, and maybe when you're younger, 2.4 is the normal. But if you have 0.1 or something, but we see that the PSA is increasing over time, then we want to look a little bit more closely at you. Mm-hmm. But certainly, you may have an exam 1 year, and then you may skip a year, and then have your examination done the following year.
Need to take a break. When we come back, more about raising the profile, the awareness level of prostate cancer. If you have a comment or a question, lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about prostate cancer and raising awareness about it and eliminating the stigma associated with the disease, the examination, and some of the challenges that come with it. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. John calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, my name is John, and I would like to know if you do the PSA test and it comes back and the numbers are good, do you still have to do the physical part? Should you do the physical part as well?
Yes, John, you do. And the reason why, at this point in time, the two tests that we use to screen for early prostate cancer is the physical exam, the digital rectal, and the PSA. The digital rectal is important because most prostate cancers arise in the periphery of the prostate. The periphery, that's the area that we can actually feel when we do the digital rectal examination.
Okay.
So, yeah, so that's why it's important to get both of those examinations done at the same, you know, at the same time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So another question. Does Howard, do they do the pre-screening for men? Or you should go to your physician.
Yes, thank you for bringing that up, James. Howard University does offer free screening for men. So we have a program called the Men Take 10. And what that means, just 10 minutes out of your day to come in and have your prostate checked. We offer the program on the third Wednesdays of the month, and I can leave the number to call. It's 202-806-7697. And you can get some more information about that.
What's that number one more time, please, sir?
Yes, that number is 202-806-7697. And that is the Men Take 10 program.
And also, as always, that information will be posted on our website along with the podcast of this conversation on WHUR.com. That'll be posted after 8:30 this evening. John, did you have another question?
No, I got all the information I needed. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you all.
Well, thank you so much, John. I appreciate your phone call. We had a caller reference his biopsy and discomfort with that. What does that entail, and why would someone have discomfort with the biopsy?
Yes, so the prostate biopsy is done as the digital rectal examination is done through the rectum at this point in time. Excuse me. So it can be done actually with you awake with a local anesthetic and a numbing medicine, or you can actually have it done asleep. So you don't necessarily have to be awake. It does involve putting a lubricated ultrasound probe. Now, this probe is about the size of the digital finger, but it has a small needle alongside of it that we can use to take several samples from the prostate gland. Now, when we're doing these samples, we're actually sampling areas that we have felt to be abnormal, and or if you've had imaging tests, such as an ultrasound of your prostate or an MRI scan, then we can target abnormal areas that we're seeing on those images and get a better sampling of your prostate. This is important, as I was saying before, because the cells that cause cancer are different cell types. Some of the cell types are aggressive, and some of the cell types are intermediate, and then some of the cell types can be very aggressive, meaning that they tend to spread early.
Mm. Back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Henry calling from Silver Spring. Henry, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Henry, go ahead. Are you there? Henry, can you hear me? Yeah, go right ahead, please.
Okay. I want to get information on the type of surgery that's out there, the best surgery that's out there for the prostate cancer.
Well, there are different types of surgeries that are out there available for prostate cancer. Let's just say if the prostate cancer is found on the biopsy and it's localized in the prostate, then the surgical goal is to remove the entire prostate gland.
Mm,
yes,
the entire prostate gland.
So you may have heard people have had surgeries for resection of the prostate to help them to empty their bladder with urination. But for prostate cancer, we remove the entire prostate gland. So it can be done most commonly now robotically. It can be an open surgery, an open cut or incision. It can be, laparoscopically. So there's various routes and ways to get to the prostate, but the surgery does involve removal of the entire gland.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, can they take, like, if so, the cancer is, like, in different sections of the prostate, they have to move the whole prostate and not just sections of it where the cancer is at?
That's correct, because the prostate is a gland. It's bathed in blood that's circulating through the entire gland. So, and in that blood is where the cancer cells are circulating. So you can't just remove one section. You have to take the entire prostate gland.
Have to take the entire prostate gland.
So what does that mean, taking your entire prostate gland? As I mentioned, the prostate gland provides some of the fluid, the semen, that comes out when you ejaculate. So when the prostate gland is removed, you're still able to ejaculate, but you have a feeling of orgasm, but there's no fluid, there's no semen that's going to come out. So you will have the orgasm, but you do not see any ejaculate or any fluid come out.
What about now for those men that are using erectile dysfunction pills such as Viagra, Cialis, or the other ones? What impact do those kinds of prescriptions have on the prostate, if any?
So those medications are used for erections. So they don't have any impact on the prostate. Now, the nerves and the vasculature, the blood vessels and things that go to the penis for it to become erect run alongside the prostate. So when the prostate gland is removed in its entirety, we try to spare those nerves or those neurovascular bundles so that the patient will still be able to have erection and still be able to, if they need to use any of those medications, those are the brand names, Viagra, Cialis, Levitra, to mention those, will still be able to use those medications to help enhance their erection.
I see. Henry, thank you so much for your phone call and your
question.
Go right ahead.
Okay. Yeah, the question is, that was my thought. okay, where any part of the penis get cut when they cut the prostate out?
No. So the prostate is located internally. So like I said, it's between your bladder and your rectum, so it's inside the pelvis. So no okay. part of the penis is cut or removed with removing your prostate gland.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Henry. I appreciate your phone call. And I think that kind of goes back to the question about the nerve bundles and the prostate and trying to spare those so that there are no erectile failures and the like.
That's correct. And so there's a nerve bundle, erectile bundle on each side of the prostate. And so if the prostate can be, if those nerve bundles can be spared, then hopefully the erections can be spared.
I think that's a good place to end this conversation. But I definitely want to thank you, Dr. Pamela Coleman, for sharing this important information. And hopefully, as we continue to be flat-footed and plain-spoken about this issue, that we will continue to educate guys and to have them come out of the dark and talk about these issues, because this isn't about sex. This isn't about homosexuality. This really is about saving your lives, and so that you can be around to enjoy your life, your family, your friends, and the like. So let's keep talking about this. Dr. Pamela Coleman, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you very much for having me.
That is The Daily Drum on SiriusXM, Channel 141, for this Monday, September 23rd. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for The Connection.